Amen. In saying that, I just want to quickly go to Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21, very familiar setting of Scripture, and then we're going to go to Psalms 138. I'm going to just take this as a launching pad before I get into the main thing that I want to preach about here this evening. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21, it said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Just because we know the name doesn't mean it's going to be all fine and dandy, all right? But he that doeth, here is an action, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then in verse 22, he said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." Who's saying this? Jesus said this. Jesus is saying, "I will profess to them." There's some more oneness stuff right there, just in case you didn't catch it. "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then I want to go to Psalms 138, verse number 2. "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." So just because somebody says, "Lord, Lord," doesn't mean you're going to be saved, but he that doeth the will of God. And it's no wonder that the psalmist said that he has magnified his word above his name. Now, we're people of the name. Amen? We are Jesus' name people. We believe in that. We do all in the name of Jesus because of his word. Amen? And now, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you and appreciate you. I ask you, Lord, one more time to touch our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to be open and receptive unto your word. Let the ears of the hearer hear. Amen. Let our eyes be enlightened by your word. Give us revelation and understanding. Lord, help my feeble lips of clay to speak acceptable words that may be pleasing in your sight. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Now, if you would quickly turn again to, you can be seated, Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Pastor and I have talked a little bit about this. I told him what my thoughts were. I didn't want to be presumptuous by no means in feeling like I want to preach a series of messages of things that God has dealt with me along the road called life. Amen. But there are things in the scripture that have helped me, especially as of late. In Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 3, if you're there, say praise the Lord. Amen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, so the students came to the master, came to the teacher, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We want to know what to be looking for. And I'm going to skip down. That's not because there's nothing important in between here, but I want to skip down to verse number 10. And we're going to launch from there. And then shall many be offended. Now, what he is talking about, he's giving us what the signs of the times are going to be, and when he is going to come back, and the end of the world. He says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Another setting of scripture. And I'll tie some of these together. I apologize. I'm just going with a lot of word right now. Amen. Luke 17 and verse number 1. Then said he unto his or the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. They will. Matter of fact, it's going to happen. Matter of fact, you can count on it happening. Amen? And so we're going to talk about offenses. We're going to talk about being offended. We're going to talk about how to deal with offenses. We're going to talk about being the offender and being the offended. There's a multiple things that go in with this. And I'm not even going to try to get it all done. I'm just going to, whatever God has is what he has, and we'll go from there. And if we feel it the next time, then we do it the next time. If we don't, then we don't. Amen? We'll just let the Lord have his way. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 6 goes on, and I want to reiterate this again, that these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. They were happy about it. And have no root in themselves. This is interesting. And have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I have been so taken back by pastors preaching on holiness. I have told my brother-in-law, I said, you guys got to get on the website. You got to listen to this. This has been absolutely phenomenal. This morning was no exception, especially what was so profound to me and touched my heart so deeply is right at the end. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And when Pastor broke that down and said that you're not going to have the ability to judge, and I'm not going to try to preach his message, it was so good. I said to myself, oh God, help me. All right. I do not want to find myself justifying an action or a thought. I don't want to find myself making up excuses when your word has determined and is forever settled in heaven. I can't change it. I can't manipulate it to make it what I want it to say. It's the word. And I don't want God to give me up to a reprobate mind that I cannot discern between that which is evil and that which is good. And I'm so thankful for his word today. Which brings me to the last setting of scripture before we begin to dive into this message here tonight. And it is very familiar. Psalms 119, 165 said, great peace have they which love thy law. Oh, we've got to fall in love with the law. with the Word of God. Great, oh, if you want to know what great peace is, it's when you fall in love with the Word of God. And it said after that, and nothing shall offend them. And so, like Pastor said, they did not like to retain God. And nothing shall, if I want this great peace that God said I could have, amen, if I will love His law. It may not be comfortable, but as Pastor so fitfully has said, if you don't like the way you're getting rubbed, turn around. You know, I'm kind of ornery. Anybody ever rub a cat and pet him from the tail to the head just for fun? That's exactly. Well, they get uncomfortable and you keep on going back and they keep on spinning around and around and around because they want to be rubbed the right way. And we need to have that same response. As soon as that rubs us, oh, I need to turn around. I just need to repent. I need to get it to where it feels comfortable. Right? Amen. I believe that more people will be lost over offenses than anything else. And offenses will come. So I need to know how to deal with offenses because they're coming. They're coming. And you know, thinking about the wayward ones that are away from the Lord right now, the majority of them today are struggling to come back because of some type of offense. There's some of us here today that we had walked away from God at one time because of some type of offense. Amen. So because offenses will come, we have a choice. I can take the offense or I can leave the offense. The choice is ours. We can take it and we can go ahead and embrace that offense, or we can say, no, I'm not going to be offended. Now that's probably easier said than done. Not probably. It is, isn't it? It's much easier to say that, and many of us will say these things over in our mind, and it's easy to say that, well, I'm just not going to take that offense, but tomorrow morning you wake up with it on your mind. And so I've got to know how to deal with it because it's a real thing. The word offend in the Greek, the root word is scandalon. It's where we get our English word scandal. Scandal, to entrap, to trip up, to entice to sin, put a stumbling block. Amen. To impede the way of which one or another may fall or trip. To entice one to sin, to cause a person to, now this is, listen to me here, to cause a person to begin to distrust or desert one in which they ought to trust or obey. If anybody tries to get you to distrust or to desert, it's offensive. That's an offense. How many have had somebody? Don't raise your hand. This is a... Does they call that a rhetorical question? I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want to. It's just asking the question. All of us have had somebody to say, and I believe it's been several weeks ago, but Pastor even said that there's some people that will go over to somebody and say, hey, but you got to watch out for that one. Yeah. That is a place to cause offense. Amen. Offense is the enemy's, I believe, the most deadly and deceptive trap in which has imprisoned countless people of God. It has devastated so many relationships, and offended people produce fruit. They produce fruit such as hurt feelings and pity parties and anger and jealousy and resentment and strife and debate. Aren't all those parts of the fruit of the Spirit? They produce bitterness. And something else they produce is grudge holding. These are all fruits of this offense. Amen. One of the biggest reasons for this is the overwhelming amount of offense is due to the lack of genuine love of God's people. Because the love of many shall wax cold. It's hard to love somebody and be offended at the same time. Now, my wife and I don't fuss at each other. I could count it on one hand. There's only been very, very few times. But I got mad at her one time. This is early on in our marriage. I think it was in our first couple of years of marriage. And that's usually when it starts. We get to knowing each other. And I was nasty. I was being a jerk. Now, I didn't think so at the time, but I was. And I remember, I'm not feeling lovey-dovey. I don't want you to kiss me. I ain't holding your hand. Why? Because I'm offended. Right? That those two things don't go hand in hand. I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm offended at you. I'm not going to give you an embrace at church and smile. And I'm not going to walk across the aisle because I'm offended. So the love of many are going to wax cold with this offense. Let me just say it like this. Children can offend. And some kids that are in this auditorium right now could probably say, and parents do too. But I won't mention any names because I don't want them to be offended. Although I could name names because we did that this morning, didn't we, Pastor? Nicholas, yeah. No, you got to understand, even though I am offended by my children, do I quit loving them? No, we still love them. And we always use the excuse, well, but they're my kids. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. They're my flesh and blood. I'm so glad you said that. Because that makes even more sense in the house of God. Because we have the same Father. And we have the same last name. When we've been buried in baptism by His name. And so guess what? We be brethren. Amen. We are brothers and sisters. So if the sin, you see how beautiful God is? He takes the same natural things. Yeah, I'm not going to kick my kids to the curb. It doesn't matter how much they offend. I'm still going to love them. I still want them to be around. It doesn't matter how and what they have done. It's not that I'm condoning their sin. It's not that I'm condoning their stupidity. I still love my children. And so even though some of us brothers and sisters in the Lord can be stupid.
Well, is that okay?
Maybe I'm just kind of real. Because I hear my girls at times, not now, but when they were younger, they'd call each other, "You're so stupid." Huh? And then they would make up. And they're the best friends today. But you should have seen them 10 years ago. They were arch enemies, but they still loved each other. Come on. And so we can have fusses and we can have that tension in the family, but there's something that is greater than any of that tension, and it's the love of God wherewith He loved us. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for His love, and I cannot let it wax cold in my life. Amen. 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 We have forgotten sometimes that we are in the family of God. David said it like this, and this is probably over the last several, I would say the last couple of years, this scripture has been so profound in my life, and that is Psalms 55 and 12. And it said this, that David is lamenting. He says this, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it." I could have dealt with it if it was an enemy. "Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself." David said, I have a course of action to get away from these type of people. But 13 said, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." You understand the tragedy that he is feeling here. If it was just somebody out there, I could let it go. If it was somebody that, hey, I could hide. But it was you and I. It was brother and sister. It was brother and brother, sister and sister, whatever it was. Oh, maybe it was even saint and pastor. And there's this division, and there's this angst. There's this horrible tearing apart. It was thou, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel. This is what hurts me. This is what's so devastating, because we've come to the, oh, I don't want to come into the house of the Lord and have aught. I don't want to come into the house of the Lord and say, oh, you're sitting there, I'm sitting right over here. I got to get clear on the other side. But I'm going to tell you that offenses will come. And there's going to be those things that will happen. And so how do I deal with it? I've got to make myself aware of what the Word of God says. It's going to come. But what do I got to do? I've got to love them. I don't want to love them. They don't deserve my love, bless God. They did me wrong. And we're going to talk, if the Lord wills, and we're going to talk about perceived offenses and real. Because some are real and some aren't. Absolutely. And we've got to be able to look in the mirror and say, this is a real offense and this is not a real offense. I need to grow up. I need to get my act together. There are those whom we sit together. We sit alongside. Perhaps, God forbid, it's the one that's doing the preaching right now. That is offensive. Now, and we've got to be careful, and we've got to be able to be mature and delineate that when the preaching comes forth, sometimes it does rub us wrong. It is abrasive, and we need it to challenge us. But like Pastor said, even, and thank you for saying that to start out and being so conscientious and so concerned for the people of God. Amen. That was very, very, very kind. He doesn't want anything to be even sound like it's you need to be here no matter what. And we need to strive to be here. This is the best place to be on the planet. Amen. But I appreciate his consideration immensely. Amen. It is those type of people that we spend holidays with, social functions. We may share an office with them. Those are the closest to us. Oftentimes, it's the ones that we sleep next to or in the same home. Amen. Oftentimes, the closer the relationship, the more severe the offense. And that's why when there is a church that has a lot of functioning and intermingling and going, that there is more there's more opportunity for offenses to come. There's more opportunity for offenses to come at us from all different angles. The more that we do and the more that we are together, the closer we become. Why? Because we get to know each other better. And that can be good, and that can be also a little bit disturbing from time to time.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, glory. Yeah. It's odd. But you often find the greatest hatred among people who were once very close, even intimate. It's equally amazing when you look statistically at the most horrific crimes committed. They are committed in homes. In homes. My. Selfishness reigns supreme in our society. That's just selfishness. It's all about them. It's all about me. It's I. Men and women today look out for themselves, giving no thought, neglecting in every way who they are hurting. Doesn't matter. They don't even think twice. It's kind of... sad. My girls were shopping the other day and some lady come pushing by and hit my grandson and knocked him into the pole, knocked his face flat into a pole. She turns around, she looks and keeps on going. Doesn't say a thing. You know why? Because she was so focused on herself that she doesn't care about smashing a toddler's face into a pole. And it's a good thing he's got a hard head. Like his mother. I mean, like his, don't be offended. Don't be. Ooh, hallelujah, man, this is getting good. The Bible is very clear that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen. We expect this in unbelievers, but in the scripture, it wasn't taught. This was a letter written to Timothy. This wasn't written to unbelievers.
All right. Yeah.
That men shall be lovers of their own selves. It was talking about in the church. God forbid. God forbid that that happens here at New Life Tabernacle. Because how in the world could you say, oh yeah, come to New Life Tabernacle where we're as selfish as can be? Huh? We just can't do it like that. Amen. But we've got to be thinking of others. Amen. I expect that from unbelievers, but I don't expect that from the church. Amen. Amen. Many are wounded. They're hurt. They're bitter. They are offended. And some don't even realize that they've been caught in the trap, in the snare of the enemy. Jesus, he made it very clear that it is impossible to live in this world and not have, the opportunity to be offended. You got an opportunity. Now, everybody likes the word opportunity, but when you say the opportunity to be offended, you go, wait a second. I don't know if I want that. Well, you'll have the opportunity. It will be afforded to you that you can be offended. Most of us are shocked. And even amazed when an offense comes. Isn't that funny how we do that? I can't believe they just did that. Did you forget what the Bible said? Offenses will come. Well, why did they do that to me? Listen, are you going to take that? Or are you going to say, no, I'm not going to be offended over that? Ay, ay, ay. Well, we instantly become so narrow-minded that we believe we're the only ones who have ever been wronged. I just can't believe they would join the club. Everybody Everybody. It may just be in a different pair of breeches or in a different skirt. But that's it. Amen. It may just be something. But the response. The response is what is so critical. This type of response of thinking, oh, I can't believe they did this to me. Why is it? Why me? This response leaves us vulnerable. Vulnerable to becoming bitter. We must be prepared. Prepare. There's a lot of things you prepare for. And we got to prepare to be offended. I got to be prepared to be, because it's going to happen to me. And what is going to be my response? Because my response to it is definitely going to determine my future. The upcoming days, the upcoming weeks, the upcoming months, the way that I deal with the way I respond to the offense will determine my future. Now, I know none of you have ever done this, but I've been offended before. And probably, I don't know that, I mean, you may have been offended a little bit, but I've been offended really bad to where I wake up in the morning thinking about it. I know you guys wouldn't do this, but I just want, just in case you ever come across this and it happens in your world, I just want to help you a little bit. I've actually woken up after a couple months being offended. Now, again, nobody would ever have that happen to them, but me, I've done that. I've stewed. I remember a time where I was horribly offended. Bad offended. And I had been stewing over it and thinking about it and frustrated. And I remember going down the road and thinking, I just can't believe he did that to me. And this went on for months. And finally I said, I'm going to call him. And I've got to deal with this. I got to take care of it. And so I called this person. And I left a voicemail. And I got a phone call back several days later that was, Brother Newman, I'm so sorry. When you called me, I was out in the sand dunes riding my four-wheeler. And that made me more mad. Because I thought, well, how can that be? You're out having fun, and I've been sitting here mad and stewing and frustrated because of what you did and how you treated me, and you had the audacity to go take your four-wheeler out and ride it in the sand dunes? Now, again, I know none of you have ever felt like this. You've never had an experience like that where you find out later that the one that you were offended at or that offended you was off having fun and enjoying life while you were miserable. Now, can I ask you, how smart is that? I ruined and wasted a lot of brain cells. Some of y'all are saying, yeah, you sure did, because you... I wasted a lot of emotion. I wasted precious time in prayer because, I thought it was real spiritual. I still went to go to prayer, but I was mad. But the word does tell me that I may as well have left my gift at the altar because nothing was going any further until I dealt with the offense. My Lord, have mercy. Now, of course, I'm preaching like this because I need to be healed. I need to know. I need to be healed from offense. I want to know the appropriate response to being offended. I'm going to tell you, the trap is already set, and the bait is offense. Everybody set a mouse trap before? You set a mouse trap? Have you ever had a mouse trap set, and you put that peanut butter or that cheese on there, and you go and you look at it, and the bait's gone, and you don't have a critter? Does that make anybody frustrated? It makes me frustrated. I won't catch that dude. I won't catch that dude. Amen. Well, the enemy has this trap set, and he's got the bait of offense sitting there waiting for you to partake it. And you may get by one or two times. You come back and nibble on it a little bit more, and it may not catch you that time, but it's going to catch you. And I get so excited when I go, oh, it didn't get away that time. So you can imagine what the devil feels like when he goes, ah, I got you where I want you. I got you exactly where I want you. You're in the perpetual state of offense. When I looked up the word, I'm going to move forward here. When I looked up the word, what time did I start? Did anybody know what time I started? Leave it to, you talk about being offended. Well, glory. Keep me on the straight and narrow. Okay, so wave your hanky there, Renee, when I'm supposed to tap out, all right? I know we already mentioned that the word, the root word of offense was scandal. But I read to you that what the definition to offense was, but not scandal. The definition to scandal, and there's only one that I really want to get to, but let me just quickly go through some of them. It's a circumstance or action that offends propriety or established moral concepts. Amen. So let me put it in my terms. It's a circumstance or an action that offends what's right and what's moral. Whatever's right and what's moral, amen, it's something that offends morality and what is right. Okay? But the best one of the definitions, there's five, and I'm not going to go through it for the sake of time, but the fifth one is a discredit brought upon religion by unseemly conduct in a religious person. Conduct that causes or encourages a lapse of faith or of religious obedience in another. Wow. That one really got me. Because, amen, that we understand that there are many offended by the unseemly conduct of somebody who claims to be a Christian in which they have a lapse of faith. How many do you know that say, ah, that Christianity stuff, they're just nothing but a bunch of hypocrites? You know why? Because they have seen a lapse. They've seen something that has been unseemly, an unseemly character or something, some type of action that hasn't been moral. And it's no wonder people don't take much stock in religion anymore. Because of all of the religious people, and i.e. preachers, that have been found in illicit relationships, that have been... But here's what you've got to understand. Just because somebody has fallen in such a way doesn't mean that God has fallen. And this is where we really got to start to delineate. I may be hurt and there may be a situation because of this humanity deal, but I'm not going to quit God because of this humanity issue. God's still good. God's still faithful. He's still righteous. He's still holy. But this here is a totally different deal. Nevertheless, I got to deal with it, don't I? I got to deal with it. So, Paul instructs Timothy in Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24. And he says, the servant of the Lord, he gives us this so that we can understand what's required. Again, the word. He's exalted his word above his name. I'm so thankful for the word. Amen. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves. That they may recover themselves. because it's your job. I can't repent for you. Pastor can't repent for you. Pastor can't get it all together for you. He's just got to instruct. Because you're in opposition to your own self. And so you're getting the instruction, amen, that you may recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, if you'll indulge me for just a moment and say it like this out of the New King James Version. It says this, the very same scripture. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel and fight, but be mild and kind, able to teach, patient, in humility, mildness, correcting those who are in opposition to themselves. If God, perhaps, will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the noose of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. My, that means, I'm going to put it in my terminology and the way my brain works, that when I am offended, I'm being held captive by the devil to do his will. Now, there's none of us, not a single one of us, that want to admit that. But whether I like it or not, it's the truth that when I'm offended, I am held captive. He's got me in handcuffs. He's got me in shackles. And I am doing his will when I am offended. Woo! Help us, Jesus. Amen. And I've got a noose around my, I don't think that just doesn't sound to me like a very comfortable place to be. However, how often do we let offenses go and fester and get bigger and bigger, and what they do is they become so strong that it becomes increasingly difficult to break free of them. But thank God for his word to give us instructions how to. Amen. Amen. Those who are in quarrels and in opposition fall into a trap and they are held prisoner by the devil's will. Even more alarming than this, oftentimes they are unaware because oftentimes yours truly has said, I'm not offended. Quit lying to yourself. It does you no good. You may as well go, you know what? I'm offended and I'm dealing with it. I'm struggling. I'm fighting it. I don't like it. I don't like the way that I feel. I don't like the way that I think. I don't like the way it makes me. You'd be much better off to say, yes, I am offended. And God, help me. But those that say, oh, I'm not offended, you're so proud. You've got to start dealing with that pride because it's going to be the death of you. Like the prodigal son, he had to come to himself and realize his condition, his true condition. My father's house has it all, and I'm here in the pig pen. I'm stuck in the mire. I'm a mess, but my father has it all. And let me tell us something today. I believe this. I I'm backing Pastor 100% on these that are wayward people. This is me. I've used the word backslider, but man, they're wayward. They're lost. They just need somebody to love them back, and they're offended. And they're going to probably puke on you. They're going to unload all of that. And you've got to have something to give to them to help them work through that offense. It's real. It's real. It's something. Come on, all of us have dealt with it. But we've got to step into that place of maturity and say, hey, it's coming to us, and we're going to have to deal with it. And that's the reason why some of us have been what we've already been through. Thank God for that trial. Thank God for that tribulation. Thank God. And you know what? I never thought, Pastor, that I'd ever say, thank God I was offended. But because I was offended, I was able to come through to the other side because of the Word of God, because of the Spirit of God, because of the church, because of just all of these things combined. And it's made me better today. Why? Because there's somebody I'm fixing to help. There's somebody you're fixing to help. They're hurt. They've been offended. And you've got the keys to help them come out of that offense and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And you're going to restore them back unto the love that is rightfully theirs. Amen. 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 I've got to quickly find a place to crash this plane. Oh, I guess I better not say that in a bunch of places where planes are built. Jesus. One way the enemy keeps a person in this offended state is to keep the offense hidden and cloaked in pride. Pride will keep you and I from admitting our true condition. Pride keeps us from dealing with the truth. It hardens our hearts. It distorts our vision. We will never change when we think everything is somebody else's problem. I'm not necessarily letting them off the hook, you understand, but it's no longer about them when I'm offended, because I'm going to be lost in this state of offense. I'm going to be lost, and I can't be lost because of something they did, especially if they're off riding four-wheelers and having a good time. You mean to tell me I'm going to be lost over this offense? And they're going and having fun. What a shame. Now that's the reality. And what a tragedy it would be for me to be lost because I'm offended. If we're not careful, that pride will cause us to look at ourselves as being the victim. Our attitude becomes, I was mistreated, I was misjudged. Therefore, my behavior is completely justified. You believe that you are innocent. You believe you have been falsely accused. And therefore, you hold back forgiveness. Just because you were mistreated. You were mistreated. It's a fact. You do not have permission to hold that offense. Because two wrongs don't make a right. I saw some of you mouth the words. And we know that to be true. But do we practice that? That's where the rubber meets the road. Do I practice that? Do I live that? Or do I hold back forgiveness because I've been done wrong? Mark 11:25 said, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. How many does that leave out? Who did it leave out? What does it leave out? If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. I so desperately want to be forgiven because I know the frailty of my humanity. I know how frail I am. I know how broken I am. I'm just hoping that God will make a mosaic out of the mess of my life. He'll take all the broken pieces and put it back together and make it something splendid and beautiful. Amen. Amen. Forgiving others is tough work. Forgiving others is tough work when you have been done wrong. It's hard, period. Amen. So much so that many people, including myself, would rather do anything else than offer forgiveness when someone has done them wrong. I would do anything else many times because... And what am I doing? I'm being held captive by the devil to do his will. And his will is that I don't forgive, because he knows the Bible just as well. That if I don't forgive, he won't forgive me. So what does he want to do? He wants to hold us in that place of non-forgiveness. Don't forgive them. Don't forgive them. They did you wrong. And he keeps on feeding you that. And you keep on holding that grudge. And you keep on staying offended. And guess what? He knows the Bible. Lord have mercy. Praying while holding a grudge. The scripture above that is like a tree that has leaves but no fruit. True faith changes the heart and seeks peace. I'm going to close here in just a moment. Real prayer dismantles pride. And it stops vengeance. And it fills all of those holes with God's amazing love. Because you have been riddled with holes. And the sooner that we realize this, that there's some of us that no doubt that we have dealt with offense and we think we've gotten over it, and maybe we have to a certain degree, and we're still working on all of the moving parts of it, and it may be taking time. You see, these are the hurts. If I got a broken arm and you sign my cast, that's great, and it's going to come off and it's going to be done. But there's something about offenses that... they don't just, it's not like having a cast on for 3 weeks and then it's off. And sometimes it goes away for a little while and then it sneaks back in. You're like, where'd that come from? And it tries to entrap you again. Amen. For our church to have power, there must be harmony and forgiveness evident in the body. When we see these, God help us, Jesus. As we see those wayward ones come in, you know what they've got to see and feel? They have got to see and feel the love of God, that it hasn't waxed cold here. They've got to see it. They've got to feel it. We've got to let those hurts go. We've got to abandon those grudges. We've got to forgive one another. We must forgive one another. Quickly, in the book of Revelations, Jesus addressed the church of Laodicea by first telling them how they saw themselves being rich and having need of nothing. Then he exposes their true condition. And he said, you are wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. Amen. And they had mistaken this financial strength and whatever for spiritual strength. If we're not careful, we will become proudful and full of pride and hide our true condition. There's something about being vulnerable. And when you've been offended, it's not easy to be vulnerable. You've been hurt. Usually, and Lord willing, we'll get into it. Usually, when one has been hurt, we start to build up a wall. Because we don't ever want to be hurt again. But that's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus told the Laodiceans how to get out of their deception by buying of him gold and seeing their true condition. This instruction helped them break free of this deception. Buy of me gold refined in the fire. If you just hang with me just for a few more moments. Gold is soft and pliable, free from corrosion. I'm going to tag in with what Pastor's been saying. It's free from corrosion and other substances. It is when gold is mixed with other metals such as copper and iron, nickel, and so on and so forth, that it becomes what one calls alloy. It is not pure. The higher the percentage of foreign metals, the harder the gold becomes. Immediately, we begin to see a parallel here form that a pure heart is like gold, soft, tender, pliable, moldable. Hebrews 3 and 13 states that the hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we don't deal with offense, we will produce more fruit of sin again, i.e. bitterness, anger, resentment, and so on. These are the substances that harden our heart to where the Spirit of God cannot move on us as easily as it used to. If you have noticed that when you've been offended, it's harder to raise your hands. I've never seen somebody really offended truly dance in the Spirit. Oh, I've seen them do a twirly bird and act like they're dancing before the Lord. But they're offended. And you could put on all kinds. But to truly find that place of liberty and worship, you can't do it while offended. And there's a difference. Oh, there's a difference. This reduces the tenderness and sensitivity to hearing from God, from allowing God's word to really take effect in our life. I'm talking about offense and its deception. Amen. That gold has to be ground, and it has flux that's added to it in the purification process. Let me go quickly through this. And it's heated up, and flux is put in there to draw out all of the impurities. Oh, I want, Pastor, I want to be holy. Ever since we got here and you've been preaching on that, I can't tell you, like you said, the more I preach on it, the more it's in our mind. And it is. It's ever before me constantly throughout the day, all week long. I think about it. I want to be holy. I want to be more like him. Amen. And so, Now, when we look at Isaiah 48 and 10, behold, I have refined thee not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, God. Peter, he talks about through manifold temptations that the trying of your faith, being more precious than gold, being tried in the fire, might be found to praise and honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. God refines with affliction. That's why I believe today, Pastor, that I can actually say, couldn't say it before, but thank God for the trial. I can semi-understand how Paul would say, thrice I've been shipwrecked and all these other things, and he is... so thankful for the things that he went through because he understands the value of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 So seeing your true condition. He says in Revelation, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The only way is to anoint our eyes with this eye salve and be zealous and repent is what he commands us to do. I'm skipping through. You'll only repent when you stop blaming others. I've said this to myself many times. I can't fix them, but I can fix me. I can't fix them. And when we get that revelation, I can't fix them, I've got to fix me. And to help others understand that, look, they may be talking about what happened to them. They may be spewing out all kinds of things that were hurtful. And you can say to them, look, you can't fix them, but you can fix you. And let's get you fixed. Don't worry about them. Amen. When we blame others and we defend our position, we are just blind. We struggle, as the scripture said, to remove the speck. I got a beam in my eye, and let me get that sliver out of your eye. I've had slivers now in my hands that I used to. My kids used to always come and ask me to get the sliver out. And now I can't do it without my glasses. Papa, I got a sliver. I can't see that. Give me my glasses. There was a time where I could see it clearly. And so I begin to now think, after losing some of my eyesight, I can understand where that, again, it's the scripture. I can understand. You can try to pick something, get it out of your own eye first. Get this offense dealt with here now. Get it taken care of now. When we struggle to remove that speck out of our brother's eye, while the log is in ours, amen, it is the revelation of truth that brings us freedom. Amen. When the Spirit of God shows us our sin, he always does it in such a way that brings conviction and not condemnation. And so I want to make sure that I don't want to be the offender, but I don't want to be offended either. And there's always going to be an occasion for this to happen. Will you stand? I know there's not necessarily, and Pastor, this is up to you, obviously. There's not necessarily, we don't have to have an altar call or anything like that necessarily, unless you want to, Pastor, and give an opportunity to pray. But there's something about God and his kindness that he draws us, and the conviction is so sweet. It is so sweet. I've got to tell you, even today, Pastor, I was convicted by some of the things that you said. I was convicted, and I began to analyze some things and some other areas of my life, and God, I said, God, I want to be holy because I am yours. And that conviction was so sweet. It wasn't condemnation and beating me over the head with a hammer, but it was so wooing. It was so tender. So I want more of you. Amen. I want more of you. So in this journey of us being and not being offended, getting over that, this has been on my mind, and pastors told me several times of all of these, and he named the number today, and I didn't know it was 25, but wow, what a huge field, can I say, of harvest or readiness. Oh, God, to help them, because every one of them are offended. Every one of them have been offended. And all the job that we have before us, that we know how to deal with offense, that we know how to help them work through that. May God give us wisdom in our offenses and help us understand our true condition so we can help them. Amen? That we can help them instruct them that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil.